Hello, it's Paul the chaplain here. This is a very peculiar situation for us all to be in. It's difficult to work out how best to communicate in the absence of our normal worship. So here's some short audio to keep in contact, though it's quite a long time since I did any radio programmes. What I will do is I'll read the collects for today, the psalm and the gospel, and say short prayers. But I do recommend that you seek out some professional worship on broadcast media, whether the radio, TV or internet, which is technically far more pleasing. The BBC has a number of suitable programmes which can all be heard on their Sounds app, but I hope you've already received information about that. If you have trouble finding what you want, contact me and I can help you. Speaking with other chaplains, it's obvious that everyone, everywhere, and all organisations are completely overwhelmed by this most unusual state of affairs. Governments and businesses are under great pressure, and they're doing their best at prediction to work out sensible regulation and action. So let's pray for them every day in their current work under such pressures. And for us, while our movement and travel is curtailed, it's good to keep in touch with friends and family by phone and various other platforms. You don't need me to tell you that, but it needs reinforcing, as it's really not good to be without human contact for any length of time. There's a good lesson about that in the book of Genesis. Well, at St Andrew's, our church is setting up support networks so we can all chat or deliver food or medicine if necessary and help with whatever crops up. So please see the church blog and the website for contacts and information. If in any doubt, don't be afraid any time to contact me for assistance. Now, I hope that you'll be able to enjoy a church service at some time today using the information I sent around yesterday in an email. If you receive an email twice or something, please forgive that. But also, if you're in touch with others, ask if they have received an email, as not everyone has joined up for that when we renewed the church database last year. But let me know. We need to make sure we contact everyone. So let me turn to the prayers. The collect for today, the fourth Sunday of Lent. Merciful Lord, you know our struggle to serve you when sin spoils our lives and overshadows our hearts. Come to our aid and turn us back to you again, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm for today, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He shall refresh my soul and guide me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup shall be full. Surely goodness and loving mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for ever. I am now going to read from John's Gospel, chapter 9. It's quite a long reading today, as it's the whole chapter, but it's a very interesting story. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. Now his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then the man went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbours and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It's him," but others were saying, "No, it's just someone like him." But he kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go wash in the pool of Siloam.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." So they brought him to the Pharisees. And now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man Jesus is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." Well, others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man replied, "He's a prophet." Well, the Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man. And they asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, that's why his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." Well, the man answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "Look, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The healed man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." And they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us." And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out and went looking for him. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those that do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." This reading begins with the disciples wondering whose fault the situation was. Many people today are asking the same. But the situation simply is. I think at the time John was making a point about spiritual awareness. And one of the lessons from this particular episode is perhaps best found connected to the final words. "Surely we can see." But the religious leaders actually did not have all the answers. Jesus points out that we have to shift our perspective from a human standpoint and consider how God might be seeing things, as that is likely to be very different from our personal, narrow outlook. Not an easy thing to do. So Jesus seems to be speaking about religious arrogance. It's clear from the final statement that thinking we're right might be the clue to actually being wrong. Let us pray. Lord, at this time of great uncertainty, with our feelings of confusion, be our rock, as the psalmist says. Help us remain on an even keel, and help us remember to think of others always. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all those in the medical world and those drawn in specially to help governments deal with this situation. Guide all those involved in trying to help people, including those in our church doing the same. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And let us pray as Christ taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you in this time of trouble. Take care. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.